Why don't you just sing the intro?
Progress.
Why don't you just sing the intro?
No. No. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the... welcome back to Taxi Squad. Yeah. Post-All-Star Break edition. And that is the focus of today's episode, in case you hadn't caught on.
Yeah, it's like...
Kind of,
yes, no. Honestly, okay, Simon, did you watch the All-Star game or skills comp or anything?
No, I did not. Well, I watched very, very few. Not very few. That's not proper English. I watched a bit of the skills competition. Not a whole lot. But I just put it on in the background while I was working out because I needed something to watch while I was working out to keep myself entertained.
True.
And it barely did that. I did watch the All-Star.
I think you probably had more fun working out than actually watching.
I did. Gains. Hashtag gains, bro.
Gains are fun, bro. I know you tweeted about them, some of the All-Star skills comps
as they're happening.
I just remember reading some of them. Just found it so funny.
I did.
Because what was it? Well, that was Friday, right? That was Friday.
It was Friday. It was Friday. And then the game was on Friday. And then the competition was on Friday. The game was on Saturday. So I think teams could fly out. They could fly out back to their teams on Sunday and they could start again on Monday.
Yeah, I was hanging out with some people on Friday and Saturday, so I completely missed everything. I'm glad I did because, fuck that, man. Yeah. But what I did do instead is I caught up on some clips and I read what happened. And I can confirm that is boring as balls.
Yeah.
I'll quickly run through the game first because you predicted, I think, the Central would win.
I can't remember. I don't think I did. I predicted one of the Western conferences. Might have been the Pacific. It was either the Pacific or the... Might have been the Central. I predicted one. No. I can't remember. I can't remember for the life of me. Jesus Christ.
I remember I picked the Atlantic. What happened was beat the Pacific 6-4. Central beat the Atlantic 8-5. So both of us, whatever we chose, were wrong. Metro beat...
Ways, yeah.
Metro beat Central.
I can't remember, but yes. Yeah.
I don't think any of us picked the Metro.
Probably not.
Because the Metro was missing Ovechkin. It was also missing Adam Fox because they were both.
They're missing a lot. They're missing a lot. So, yeah.
MVP was Claude Giroux, but honestly could not care less because, I mean.
It's the All-Star game and no one cares.
Yeah, no one cares. And also, no one was really trying, to be honest. So the games could have really swung either way. Do you remember what the players get if they win the All-Star game? Isn't it like $1 million?
They used to get a car. I don't know if they're doing that anymore.
No, I don't think so.
Or a truck. They used to do that. But I don't know if they are anymore. I have no idea.
They might be. They might win like a small amount of money, but it still isn't enough to incentivize anyone, really.
They're making is like what they make in like a day and a half.
Yeah, pretty much.
Basically.
I'm surprised the games were that low scoring, aka uneventful. You look at the basketball All-Star game, isn't like there's All-Star game that goes into 180 points to 150 points, something ridiculous like that, right?
Yeah, no, it depends. Because they had some, it goes up really high in the NFL. Sorry, the NBA. God damn it.
And these games that the NHL played, it's just like a regular game, 5-3. Wow.
Yeah.
But even the score just looks boring as balls.
But here's the thing. And we are going to get into kind of more deep analysis into the All-Star break. Specifically, I think we're going to probably focus in on the All-Star skills competition. And as I've gotten older, because again, the All-Star events used to be something that I was really into as a younger fan, in the first couple years of watching hockey. Hell, I even got to go to the All-Star game in Ottawa in 2012. That was really cool when I was in grade 8 or something. But now that I'm older and I actually understand the game a lot better and I watch a lot more games, man, who cares about All-Star break in any sport, really?
I know, right?
The NBA, I think, is a bit more interesting because I think they do the skills competition a bit better than the NHL does, but that's another thing. But at the end of the day, what really is it? it's not significant in any way. I know it's supposed to be, I think it's more for the fans than it is for the players and the rest of the league. I don't even think at this point, I don't even really think the fans enjoy it at this point. I'm sure some people do, but I'm just one of the people who just like, I don't really get it.
Honestly, are you a fan?
I am a fan.
Did you enjoy it?
Maybe less now than I did recently, but did I enjoy it? No, I did not enjoy it.
So then how was it for the fans?
That's a good question. I just think conceptually All-Star Weekend's for the fans, I'm going to break down that point a bit more once we get into the actual analysis of the weekend. But I don't know. The only All-Star sport or All-Star Weekend I actually enjoy watching is like I don't really enjoy watching the NBA All-Star game that much anymore. I'll watch it if it's on because it's like, oh, it's kind of interesting. But like,
yeah,
the skills competition in the NBA is probably only like actual skills thing in any professional sport I actually watch.
Or the celebrity game.
I don't even watch a celebrity game.
Okay.
Like,
but that is fun. Like, fun concept. The NHL does not have
the only things the only All-Star related stuff I watch in any sport or is the baseball All-Star game, because that is an actual game. There's no gimmicks. It's literally a game of the best players in the league.
Yep.
And there's no gimmicks to it. So just the game, and there's the home run derby. And the home run derby I don't really watch anymore, because again, that's where I think I enjoyed it more when I was a kid, not so much anymore. And then the NBA skills competition, dunk comp, 3-point comp. Those are interesting in my opinion, because they actually evaluate the player skills. But anyways, this has turned into a really long rant, but
No, but it's warranted though. Like, NHL, in my opinion, I don't know if you're going to say this later on, but the All-Star game is specifically, it's not catered for fans. I would say it's specifically for the fans of the city where the All-Star game and the skills comp is being played. It's just an event, an in-person event for the people of the city. It's just to honor, it's like a spectacle for the people in the city. So Vegas, for example, right? Great city. And I love that they made the All-Star weekend very Vegas themed in a sense as well, right? Like, if you're someone from Vegas, I guess you'd love to see it. I don't really know.
I'm going to touch on that later as well.
It was kind of tacky because
I have some problems with it, which I will get to later, which again, but yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree with that statement. And I think, well, here's the thing, right? Like a couple years ago, like, and maybe this is just because I was younger and like, ooh, it's exciting, the All-Star weekend, but like,
yeah,
it feels like that there's a lot more excitement. And I don't think I'm wrong when I'm saying this, because I was reading this on Twitter as well. It seems like the excitement for the All-Star game and All-Star weekend has gone down significantly this year and then like last year as opposed to previous years. Or maybe not last year, because last year there wasn't an All-Star game because of the pandemic. But like this year, like I completely forgot. I didn't even know All-Star weekend was All-Star weekend until like Friday, like Thursday night when like, okay, or like whenever the Leafs last played, like, oh, okay, after the All-Star game. I'm like, what? Cool. Anyways, like,
honestly, yeah, overall, interest in hockey, I wouldn't go as far as to say just interest in sport, but interest in hockey is down significantly over the last 2 years. Because, dude, people just have so much more to worry about now. And just like on the rung of priorities in your life, the ladder of priorities, hockey is not up there for me, specifically speaking. Like, it's not high in my life priorities at all.
Oh, no, for sure. I think that's everyone. It's a hobby. Yeah. It's not.
Yeah. It's a hobby. Yeah, it's fun. It used to be higher like a couple of years ago, but after COVID and everything, like, man, I value so many more other things in my life right now. And hockey is just like, if I have time, I'll make time for it. And if it helps me make this podcast better, then I'll watch it. Right. Yeah.
I think that's every fan, with the exception of the fans who also happen to have a career like in like sports journalism or sports management, that actually where the game actually impacts their, like, what they, like, if they have to cover this, like, if they're right about the Leafs, for example, or if you're right about the All-Star weekend, for example. But I 100% think you're right in the sense that, I felt it as well. I'm watching significantly fewer games this year than I have previous years. Now, how much of that is from the pandemic, I don't know. But, like, it's something I definitely notice. I'm definitely not like, I definitely don't feel like, oh, I have to watch the game tonight, but like, or like just in, anyways, that's.
In a weird way, I'm more interested in the stuff we say on this podcast than actually reading and learning about the league on a day-to-day basis. Like, I do it so that obviously I'm educated in what goes on in the league, but Right. I kind of do this for this podcast because I'm like, I really like this stuff. Mean, and I love that we talk about it all the time. But if there was no podcast, then maybe I just would not read about it.
That's a thing, right? Like I've definitely noticed that as well. Maybe less so than you, because again, I don't know. You probably read about more stuff for the pod than I do, because again, you typically do a bit more of the producing stuff. I do some, not a whole lot, but like more so because like I'm also like in work in school full time, so I don't really have a lot of time to kind of be like, oh, here's this, here's that. But like, I'm probably maybe not to the same extent as you when you say that, but like I think probably in the same boat, just because again, like just the things that have gone on in the league this year, like it's been kind of depressing to the point where like if we weren't doing this pod, I probably would have done some kind of not exiling but kind of would have taken some space or some distance from the league for a while, or at least from the things in the league that weren't related to the Leafs. And it's kind of like, I distanced myself, because I think it's just, it's like there was genuinely a period like during the Kyle Beach stuff where I was like, I need to take a break from like everything. And I was genuinely thinking like, should I take a break from the pod? Should we kind of put pause on things? It was like I can't, because like we talked about it. Anyways, this is going to turn into a really depressing conversation about the league, which we can kind of end there. But like, I'm sure a lot of fans understand where I'm coming from, because I feel like that's probably a lot of things that the fans around the league have felt, not just myself.
Yeah, no, I definitely felt it as well. Okay, I'll quickly run through the All-Star Skills games. There were like 6 or 7 of them. Fastest skater, Jordan Kyrou, 13.55 seconds. Second
job, fastest, Jordan.
Adrian Kempe at 13.585. And third was Chris Kreider at 13.664. Wow, is Chris Kreider like so underratedly good this season?
Every time I see Ranger jersey on.
Yeah, I noticed that. But like, my God, this guy is just, I have not ever appreciated him enough. And this season in particular, I am seriously not appreciating him enough.
Yeah. I appreciate him because he's on my fantasy team this year. But I mean, yeah, like Chris Kreider's having a really good year. I hope he can keep it up. Not just because he's on my fantasy team, although that would be sweet if he could. But like, he's
leading the league. He's leading the league in goals right now, 33.
Yeah, he's always been a really good skater. I don't really follow the Rangers all that closely. Although like, I don't know where this goal scoring prowess came from. I mean, it probably helps that he's playing. I think he's playing with Mika Zibanejad, so that obviously probably helps. And I mean, who knows who he's playing with? But like, man. He's been unreal. He's been actually unreal.
Longest NHL save streak. Supi and Vazzy won with 9 saves in a row. Cool.
Yeah.
NHL Fountain Faceoff. What the fuck was this event?
Yeah. They were standing on a fountain outside of Bellagio, and they basically had, and they're standing on a fountain. They're sitting like in a fountain. And they had two platforms. We had to like saucer, like essentially saucer past the puck onto those platforms. So you had to do the left one and then the right one, and then the last one you had to put it into a net that was like float like on a platform like in the middle, a little further back. And yeah,
so like what's the difference between this and the accuracy one?
Well, one's shooting, one's like, this is essentially passing. The like accuracy is basically accuracy shooting. Like, and it's like it's very different. If you look it up after, you'll see the difference. But like, anyways, okay. Just keep going. As we're talking about it, this bring back a lot of points that I was gonna bring up when we talked about this. So keep going.
But see how awkwardly we're talking about this so far. It's like,
yes, I know. Like, I know, but keep going.
Quick question on this one, though. First, yes. There was a female hockey player who was playing in this event. I forgot her name.
I think it was Kendall Coyne Schofield, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Okay.
She actually did really well in the first round of this skills comp. Why didn't she get to the finals?
I don't know. I wasn't watching it. I can't remember. Okay, I have no idea.
Yeah. Okay, whatever.
let me just say though, I think this is like this. I think this is the second year, or not the second year. They've done. I think it's great. Again, we've talked about how bad the All-Star game is for different reasons. I think it's great though that they have female hockey players participating in these events as well. Again, I'm sure there's some people somewhere that don't like it, but I think it's a good way to kind of promote the game.
Screw them.
I think the last time they actually had an All-Star game, I think it was in St. Louis in 2019, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. They actually had like a women's like 3-on-3 game during the intermission, which is kind of cool. Just think it's a, like, I don't know if they did that again this year. If they didn't, that's kind of too bad, because I really think it'd be a interesting, like a pretty creative way to market the game around, sort of market the women's game as well. But anyways, so bravo on the NHL for having Kendall Coyne Schofield at the All-Star game again, because I think she was there also in San Jose. But anyways,
yep, 100% great job. I was just perplexed as to why she did not proceed to the second round of that event.
Oh, who no cares? For sure.
Yep. Hard shot. Zach Hedman.
I think I was gonna say Zach Cassian, but yes,
Zach ahead. Cassian. 103.2 yes, miles per hour. I'm kidding, Hedman won. Yeah. Cool, that's all I have to say for that. Breakaway mm-hmm. challenge. Breakaway challenge. There was like five skaters who participated in this. Alex Petrangelo won. I really, really don't know how he won that one.
I know. Well, yeah. No, I know.
Like, how was it not Kirill Kaprizov? Like, how was it
Kaprizov?
Not? Dude, I thought Kaprizov was the best.
More than Trevor Zegras?
Okay, Zegras is good too, but I really loved Kaprizov, dude.
Dude,
I would go Kaprizov 1, Zegras 2.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Okay, hold on. Anyways,
either way,
Kaprizov was a
Either way, we could both agree that Petrov was last.
Oh, for sure, for sure. But here's the thing, like, Kaprizov was impressive. I thought it was kind of
so cool funny
that he paid homage to Ovechkin, considering he wasn't at the event. But dude, like, Trevor Zegras was blindfolded, like, and I'm not sure how much he was blindfolded. We'll never know that, because again, like that's something you just never know. He dodged, like, again, and the Zorro move, oh my, like, there's guys who can't even do that, like, in warm up, and he did it just, like, so easily,
blindfolded in his packed stadium.
And like, it was on his first try.
Yeah,
he didn't bobble it and do, like, he freaking nailed it.
Yeah, it was good. Okay, I just really liked the pre-sub because I thought it was really
good. Oh, no, I don't blame you. I don't blame you for liking it. I just, you know, I just think, in my personal opinion, I thought Trevor Zegras is like head and shoulders above everyone else. But because the thing is, anyways, keep going. This is
okay.
And I'll expand on that after, because I'm going to go on a little bit of a tiny rant, but that's okay.
Sure.
Anyways, go ahead.
NHL accuracy, Sebastian Aho won 10.937 seconds, which was like way better than anyone else.
Good job,
and Aho. Then there was NHL 21 and 22. This is the dumbest event ever. I'm sorry. I don't think anyone watching at home, well, at least anyone who doesn't understand the concept of blackjack, and I bet there's a lot of people who don't. Joe Pavelski won, and like, this was, for anyone who doesn't know how to play the game, I bet this is confusing all the way through. So yeah. I apologize on behalf of the league for anyone who watched that event.
So basically, for those of you who are listening and haven't seen it, they basically had a grid of cards hung up in the air. And there were five, I think there was Pavelski, Matthews, Tkachuk, Stamkos. There might have been one more, I can't remember. But those are the four that I remember off the top of my head. And they basically had to shoot to try to get 21, because that's the point of blackjack. So they had like aces, queens, they basically had every, like, a bunch of different cards, and they had to shoot to try to knock the card. If you hit the card, you got the points. You got the amount of points that were on the card. So if you got a king, for example, you get like 10 points or whatever. So you wanted to get the 21. And I think the idea was supposed to, I don't even know. I haven't really... Like, but yeah.
So Sebastian,
good job, Joe.
Yeah, sorry, not Sebastian. Joe Pavelski won that one. And yeah, that's it. That's about all the skills comps there were. I would say my favorite one, and it's always been my favorite one, has been. Actually, I don't even know now. I was gonna say hardest shot, but like, Chara's not.
My favorite was none. My favorite was none of them. Okay, so most... here's okay. I'm gonna
quick thing.
I'm gonna quick. So go ahead.
I think most exciting the one that I look forward to is Fastest Skater, just because I don't know, I like that. It's cool. I feel like that'd be applicable to like a real game scenario, you know, fastest skating.
Yeah.
Hardest shot, like, okay, yeah, maybe. But everything else, I don't really care, man. Like, no.
So here's the problem I have with the skills competition. Not even the All-Star weekend with the skills competition. The skills competition doesn't actually measure players' skills. It doesn't. Faster Skater kind of does. Skating fast. Accuracy Shooter does. Hardest Shot does. So I guess some of the events do. Breakaway Challenge does not, because half the time players just use the props, which I think is a good way to market the players. I will give you that. But like, here's the thing. And this is kind of my bigger point here. I think one of the reasons why the NBA does a really good job of actually, one of the reasons that I enjoy the NBA's skills competitions more is because they actually invite non-All-Stars to the event. And now Trevor Zegras wasn't an All-Star that was at the event, but like, I don't know if that was an exception or if the NHL specifically asked for him because they thought it would be really good for the ratings or whatever. But like, year in, year out in the NBA, you have players who aren't actual like All-Stars participating in events like the dunk contest, the three-point competition, the All-Star Skills Challenge Relay. Like, I think that makes it a lot more interesting. It actually allows you to assess like skills from players who aren't All-Stars. So basically, the fastest skater isn't necessarily the fastest skater in the league. It's the fastest skater of the player who's at the competition. So like, and I think that's kind of, and I know that's a really kind of like, if like that's a really like kind of tinfoil hat. Yeah. I put out those tweets on Friday night saying, oh, like this weekend sucks or whatever, it's not fun. And like, I don't like kind of like being like that, kind of like, oh, I hate this. Like, cause at the end of the day, like if you don't like it, don't watch, which I didn't after I watched a little bit of it. But why are they doing events in the fountain in front of the Bellagio? I don't get it. And like, and the problem I have with that is you have fans that are paying to get into like who are paying to go to the event, and I'm willing to, and two of the events, the blackjack one and the Bellagio, weren't even at the arena. So you're basically, so these fans are paying to go to the All-Star weekend, which is it's a very special event. Not many cities get to host it in a decade. Only 10 teams get to host it in a decade. And you basically took two of the events out of the arena, and I'm willing to bet that they didn't discount the price at all. Cause why would you? It's the All-Star weekend. So like, anyways, that's a long rant, but like, those are kind of specifically the one where like, they're not inviting everyone, or not everyone has an opportunity to participate in the skills competition. Like, I just think it's probably one of the bigger problems I have with it, in addition to many, but like, I don't know.
You know, the problem from with the All-Star break stems from one thing, right? If you fix this one thing, then the All-Star game and the skills comp will drastically improve. And you know what that one thing is, Mr. Simon?
Effort. The effort, the player's effort. I don't know.
Okay, yes, know. Obviously, yes, the player's effort. But like, I know. You can't really change that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and like in the structure of the way the All-Star players are selected, why does there have to be one from every single team? You're diminishing the overall value of the All-Star game.
100%. Mm-hmm.
The purpose of the All-Star game and the entire weekend is for the best of the best in the league to be there. You want the most skilled players to be there. You want the most exciting. You want the coolest, brightest, youngest stars. You want just the phenomenal faces of the league to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why do you have to have one from every team? Like, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's like, it's okay if someone from Arizona is not there. Trust me. Mm-hmm. Trust me. Like, why was Clayton Keller there? Come on. You just have...
Yeah.
Okay, I know that's an example, but what I'm saying is there are players who are at the All-Star game where I'm looking at them and I'm like, how are you there when someone like John Tavares wasn't?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Wow, it made everything about the Leafs.
Example, just an example.
I know, or Mika Zibanejad. I'm gonna throw my
Mika Zibanejad, right?
Mika Zibanejad, yeah.
There's like tons of players that could go on and on about that, but like,
mm-hmm.
like why? If you have the better players there, then your product on the ice will improve. Your skills comp event will improve. That's the first thing you should fix. And I know, actually, I don't know how they would go about fixing this. Like maybe you have the media members of the NHL decide the list of players and then the fans vote based on that. Cause that way you prevent the John Scott thing from happening. I don't know how you do it, but you got to fix it.
Here's how you do it. So, and again, not to keep on this point, but you do it how the NBA does it. You have the fan voting, but you also get voting from the players and from the coach and like from other executives around the league. That way it's not strictly player voting. And then you actually get like good players going. And then you have the, like, I don't know who fills out the rest of the roster, but you have the coaches fill out the rest of the roster if that's not how it's already done. And then you basically remove the mandate because like, it's ridiculous. Not ridiculous, but like, you're seriously telling me that Nick Suzuki's an all-star? And I love Nick Suzuki. He's from Toronto. I think he's like half Asian or half Japanese. I think that's great. But like, I think like, man, no chance. No chance. That like his numbers are not consistent with someone who is supposed to be an all-star.
Yeah.
Like, because now you're basically tarnishing the idea of like, oh, he was an 8-time all-star. Yeah, but in those 8 years, like every year they had to have one player from every team.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. Leo Komarov shouldn't have been an all-star. When he went to Nashville in 2017, 2016.
Yeah, like, not at all. And every Leaf fan will tell you that. Like, I don't know what the NHL is trying to prove here. It's every single Leaf fan from that season will tell you Leo Komarov is not an NHL all-star. The only reason why he went to the game that season was because the league wanted one person from every team.
And I'm willing to bet it's because they want every fan base to feel like they have like someone to watch at the All-Star event. I would argue that by doing that and by having one person from every team on the actual like All-Star roster, you're actually going to reduce the amount of people that watch. Because again, the last 3 years, like, and I don't know how long this thing's been in effect for, but like, no one's excited about the All-Star weekend anymore.
Not even everyone, a little
like
bit.
Like, I remember, like, the NHL All-Star game used to be kind of something or, like, kind of positive or cool things would come out of, like, oh, Chara shot, like, almost 109 miles per hour. Oh, my goodness. The breakaway challenge is so cool because it, like, and I guess that's one thing, and especially Trevor Zegras thing is one positive that came out of this All-Star weekend. But overall, I kind of felt like there was a lot of negative stuff that came out. Or maybe it just felt that way because we've been so overwhelmingly negative about it, but like, I don't know, man.
Why did we watch the All-Star game? Let's go back like 6, 7, 8 years ago when it was Chara versus Shea Weber. Like, why did you want to watch that?
It was exciting.
It's exciting, right? And there was like a build-up to it, like kind of all season long. You're like, ooh, who's gonna win this thing? Like, both break a ton of bones when they shoot their pucks into the traffic, into the defenders, all season long, and you want to watch that, like, oh, who'd actually win this sort of thing? Even Fastest Skater at the time was more exciting. Now it's like, I don't care. There's no buildup. There's no hype around it. It just feels like this event happens, and then we just stop talking about it for another 10, 11 months, and then we talk about it once more, now, and not like, another 12 months.
Here's the thing. Maybe part of it, again, I'm not sure. I'm just spitballing here. Maybe that's just because, again, Shea Weber is no longer in the league. Probably is going to be like, he's basically retired if he hasn't officially already. Zdeno Chara is certainly no longer an all-star, and he's probably playing his last year this year or next year. I'm willing to bet he retires at the end of the season. And maybe it's just turnover and kind of we're waiting for someone to kind of replace them as like the kind of exciting participants in the skills competition.
That's no. I don't think you should ever rely on NHL players to be exciting. What you do is you create the environment for them to be exciting. So like, I don't know, like perhaps maybe 6 or 7 months before the All-Star game happens, like go as far back to the beginning of the regular season. So September, and then you market the All-Star game and the rivalries of like hardest shot, wherever, all the way from September through to January when you hold the event, and you build it up and you go like, oh, it's going to be this person versus this person in hardest shot. It's going to be this person versus this person in fastest skater. Yeah. And then you market that on social media, and then people are like, oh shit. And then you get the players to rally behind it and get them like, fake beefing with each other or something
The players, Like, I think the thing for me is, like, my all-time favorite All-Star event from the years that I was watching was called, I think it's called the Skills Challenge Relay. Not Relay. Skills Challenge Relay? Might have been the Skills Challenge Relay. Where it's, like, it's a relay race where you start off with one-timers. And you have three players lining up to take one-timers. And then it went off to a saucer pass. And fans from previous years know what exactly I'm talking about. It goes off into saucer passes where you have to put the pucks in little mini nets. And then you have someone who is like basically weaving around cones with the stick handling. And then and then you have someone like basically getting ready to do accuracy shooting. It was just such a cool way. And it was literally a competition because you had like number one, they actually, like, I'm not sure if they did it this year. I don't think they did, but they actually kept points for every event that you won. And number two, it's an actual competition. Because you're trying to get the best score. Like, and I guess that's kind of what this, like, is also what this is with, like, hardest shot and everything. Because there are point, like, there are scoring categories. But, like, I don't know, man. Like, maybe it's just me just reminiscing about kind of how I used to be so into the All-Star game, like, when I was younger. But I don't know. Like, I just, and if anyone else can kind of think of reasons why, don't hesitate to kind of add us on Twitter or anything, because again, maybe we're just missing stuff. But like, I don't know, man. Like, I can hardly justify watching any of it anymore for the NHL.
You know what the perfect analogy is? When you're watching a really, really good TV show, and then there's that one filler episode.
Yeah.
That's what the All-Star Weekend is.
Like, here's a pretty good example. Like, one of my favorite shows growing up was a card game show. A super great show. It's not Pokemon. It's called Yu-Gi-Oh! And all of my great show. I still watch it today, actually. Something habit. I can't remember. Guilty pleasure. That's the one. It's my guilty pleasure show. It's something I like to watch, and I like to kind of think about how I was when I was younger. I look at the ones they have now for Yu-Gi-Oh! Because again, it's still going. They know their audience. They know they still sell cards. And like, I watch one episode, I'm like, I can't watch this. And maybe that's it. Maybe the NHL All-Star Game is the same thing. Or like, it's just like, I don't know. It's a different rendition of what it used to be. And maybe there's just people who don't like that, and that's fine, I guess, because maybe they're trying to market to the younger population. But I don't know. I don't know. Anyways. That's enough about shitting on the All-Star game, at least from my perspective, unless you want to say anything. But
I'm good. Okay.
I'm all shitted out from the All-Star game.
Okay, Simon, who am I? What we saw from Rocky was frustration.
No, I was gonna say okay. I told you I had no hope for that Gary Bettman press conference, and he did not let me down.
Yes.
Oh my god.
So again, trigger warning, we're gonna briefly talk about the tangentially related to the Kyle Peach incident now, because Rocky Wirtz, as we all know, he had a terrible press conference last week. He had an outburst, he had a hissy fit, he was bitching about not wanting to answer the question. And it's not being the reporter's business, whatever, we talked about it. But it is related to Kyle Beach and sexual assault. So trigger warning again.
Yep, 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 yep.
But this was, I'm going to read you the quote from Bettman first. What we saw from Rocky was frustration. It was an emotional, I think most media are calling it an outburst. And the most unfortunate thing about it is it's completely inconsistent with all the work the Blackhawks are doing. A lot of personnel have left. Jamie Faulkner and Danny Wirtz are really running things day to day. They're bringing in a wellness department. They're having training. There's counseling. They know they have to do everything right to create an environment that has an open, welcoming, and safe culture. And that's what they're working on. So I just think it was an emotional moment born out of something that I know has weighed very heavily on Rocky. And I think at the town hall, and what he was really focused on was, how do we take all these things we're doing to move forward? And I think this was just pent up frustration, and he apologized promptly.
No.
Zero out of 10.
No, negative zero out of 10. here's the thing. Here's the thing. Okay, here's the thing. He said Danny Wirtz and Jamie Faulkner or whatever her last name was. Again, apologies. I just haven't read the quote. I don't know the person. I don't know the person at all. They could have things in place, and I hope they have things in place. That's not the point. The point is, an owner of one of your NHL teams recently, as in like 6 weeks ago or back in October, whenever, it's not 6 weeks ago, but like the Kyle Beach thing was resolved 6 weeks ago. This thing came out in October, which is still recent, not even a full year yet. It came out that there was a cover up of a sexual assault case under this organization, and this owner didn't know about it. That's not okay. And again, we've talked about this before. And if you want to hear what we had to say about that, again, listen to the previous episodes. I'm not going to get into that again because I don't have the energy to spend more time on this stupid thing. This problem I think we can fix going forward. Not fix going forward, but like the league should focus on going forward. In the first opportunity that he has to address the media, to talk to the fans about this incident, he has a fit like that. That's not Gary Bettman basically just did what the Blackhawks did. We just tried to sweep this reaction under the rug. And again, this is something we talked about. Like I had no hope for this press conference for that exact reason. Cause I knew that was going to happen. We all knew that was going to happen. And it's Gary Bettman. But like, man, like,
you know what this was? This was a leader who's unfit to lead his organization talking about another leader who is unfit to lead his organization.
Yes, that's a really good way to put it. That is a very good way to put it. Correct.
So the fact that Gary Bettman, instead of condemning what Rocky Wirtz said, he actually tried to justify why Rocky Wirtz said it. He was like, listen, there's a reason why Rocky Wirtz said it. He was frustrated. Come on.
He basically said, it's been weighing on the fact that Rocky Wirtz let a sexual assault case under his watch happen, and the aftermath or the consequences for his actions or for the fact that this happened under his watch had been weighing on him is the reason why he's able to kind of just basically tell reporters to shove it and not be able to ask questions, which are very reasonable questions to ask, considering your organization tried to cover up a case of sexual assault. I worded that really weirdly, I know, but like,
No, it's okay. Don't worry about it. I got you. The weirdest thing that Gary Bettman said, though, I think this has been a very emotional and frustrating and draining for all the Blackhawks and Rocky in particular. Why are you sympathizing with the billionaire? What do you mean draining? This guy can wipe his tears with like $100 bills. Oh, it's so draining for Rocky. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Mr. Rocky Wirtz.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Also, don't punch me in the face. I feel like Rocky Wirtz just goes home and kicks his dog to sleep every night. Like, that's how much pent-up frustration is in Rocky Wirtz's blood.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But like, what's the need of Gary Bettman, commissioner of the NHL, to go out and say, it's okay. Rocky Wirtz said what he said, but he doesn't mean it. Is he your child? Do you need to babysit him like this? Why are you saying
it's kinda
this?
It's kind of too bad because it feels like there's a lot of opportunities, especially this year, for Gary Bettman to go out and kind of, I don't want to say redeem himself, but at least to kind of not be a slump, not to be a scumbag. And it feels like every time he is very much a scumbag. This is another one of those times, unfortunately. Adam Silver for GM of a commissioner of the NHL, everyone. We got to do both NHL
and GM of the Blackhawks.
He's not even the GM. He's the owner, but Bridge is the owner, but I don't know. I think it's kind of too bad that out of all the made professional sports leagues, I only look at one of the GMs being like, oh shit, that's a good person. That is a really good person.
Commissioner.
Maybe Adam Silverhead does have some skeletons in his closet, but I don't know.
Yeah. Look, it's just, again, one asshole talking about another asshole. It's a That's all I have to say about that. I took nothing else from that. I just was like, fuck you, man. That's it. Nothing. Do you have anything else to say about that?
Again. Well, no, because like again, like I talked about this. Like I was like, I'm not expecting anything good to come out of this press conference. Nothing did. Like That's how low the bar, the expectation is for fans in this league.
Yeah.
We can't even expect the commissioner to come out and condemn actions that a GM took. Condemn the actions of a GM who basically snapped at a reporter because he asked what the team was doing to prevent for any future cases of sexual assault.
Yeah.
Like, man.
In the same press conference, Gary Bettman also talked about, so I will talk about the Arizona Coyotes after I talk about what he said first. What else he said. He talked about COVID in Canada. He mentioned that it's frustrating for everybody, the fact that the Canadian teams are still operating at lowered capacity and that they still will be operating at 50% capacity for some time going forward. Bettman was like, it's frustrating, it's troublesome, it's not what anyone wants to do, and it's not something that we're actively encouraging. Sorry, I read it wrong. He said, not surprisingly, a number of Canadian clubs have asked about the possibility of playing their games somewhere else. That's how troublesome it's been. That's not what anyone wants to do, and that's something that we're actively encouraging. And then he talked about holding the NHL draft this summer in a different city. It was supposed to be Montreal, but if the COVID restrictions continue, then he was talking about completely holding it somewhere else. Okay. So that's that. I can't say anything about that. That's just purely a political issue in Canada. Is what it is, man. Mm-hmm. We've had enough anti-vax rallies over the last week in Ottawa and Toronto.
Convoy. Woo!
He also talked about the potential for holding a World Cup of Hockey and that there would be one in the works before 2026. Cool. What can we do?
Yeah. Cool. Good.
Yeah. That's good. Okay. And then Arizona Coyotes. So I saved this for the end over here, over the last bit of our episode today, because we never talked about the Arizona Coyotes yet.
One ever has.
That's true. No one ever has. No one wants to.
Yeah.
I think we're 24 episodes in now. 24 rides into our podcast.
Oh my goodness.
Next one's gonna be our 25th. That's a milestone.
Ooh.
And look, a quarter way to 100 already. Wow.
Oh my wow. Oh my goodness. True.
But basically, Arizona Coyotes, since their inception in the league, they've been riddled with a number of financial problems, arena problems, stadium problems, or I guess that's arena problems. Everything problems, player problems, yeah. Cap problems, GM problems.
Being relevant in the league. Like, yeah.
Those problems, anyways, yes. Fan problems, yes. Just overall being shitty problems. So everything has just kind of hit a boiling point over the last few seasons now. They're having trouble finding a new arena. And they're being kicked out of their old one because they could not pay the lease. Hopefully I did not get that part incorrect, but
I think that's right. I'm pretty sure that's right. They can't, not paying rent, basically. They can't pay the rent, essentially.
Because they're broke. They're just broke. That's it. They're broke.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so the temporary solution is, while they find a new arena, next season onwards, I believe, they're going to play in a college stadium. Yeah.
Yep. Arizona State University. Yep.
And the attendance of that will only be 5,000 because it's a college stadium. And that's it. That's
which is coincidentally more than the amount of Coyotes fans are currently in the state of Arizona.
Probably. Anyways, isn't that what Brad Marchand said? He said you have to sell 4,500 tickets to get to 5,000 capacity.
Yeah.
Which is kind of true. But like,
you know, I feel bad for Coyotes fans. But there aren't enough for me to genuinely feel bad about them. and for those Coyotes fans, I genuinely do feel bad for you, kind of. But like, it's not like, oh my god, okay. Like,
it's gonna be the smallest arena in the NHL by far. We know that. Mm-hmm. What Bettman said though was, even though it will be very very small, there is a potential, according to one of the quote unquote models that they ran, that it would still be more profitable than the current arena that the Arizona Coyotes are currently operating in. So my assumption is they would have 5,000, and let's say they sell out those 5,000 fans. The ticket prices obviously have to be jacked up to compensate for the fewer number of seats in the arena. And if you jack those up and you assume the whole stadium will be packed, then yes, then you will actually turn a more, you'll turn more money than you currently are. But that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen.
Nope.
Come on. Like, who's going to pay more for a dog shit team, man? Who's going to pay more to watch such a product on the ice? And who's going to want to go to a college stadium?
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
They're not even tanking properly. They're not even tanking properly. They're not last in the league. That's the, like, anyways, that's not, like, part of the thing is, like, Arizona hasn't, again, and, like, this is one of the major, like, one of the very, this isn't anywhere near the worst of Arizona's problems, but, like, kind of is, but, like, they haven't had, like, a player to kind of get the fans excited. Like, the closest one they had was Shane Doan, who's now gone, but
Pavel Datsyuk?
Like, Coyotes, yeah, the ghost of Pavel Datsyuk. Like, the Arizona Coyotes haven't had, like, a player to get them excited, and Shane Doan, who's an icon in Arizona Coyotes hockey and always will be. He was never someone who was like a McDavid, like a Matthews, like a Crosby, like a Ovechkin per se. And I don't think they really ever had one. And again, I could be completely wrong about that. I don't know, like Danny Briere was someone who was pretty good for the Coyotes. Was it the Coyotes? Yeah. I think Danny Briere was good for a period of time, but again, like, and again, maybe the solution is when they get Connor Bedard, or if they get Connor Bedard, because that's not even guaranteed at this point, or Shane Wright, I think is next year. If they're able to get one of them or two of them, both of them maybe, or both of them, who knows? They're able to generate excitement, but the Phoenix Suns are currently number one in the NBA. I think they're the NBA best. Their best team in the NBA record-wise. Yeah. The Coyotes, and the, like, there's genuinely so much excitement about that team. If you go back and watch the clips of the NBA Finals, that arena was rocking, completely sold out and everything. There are passionate sports fans in Arizona. Same with the Cardinals. The Cardinals made the playoffs this year. They weren't that good, but like they had a good record. They lost one of their best receivers leading up to it, but like, I just get the sense there's absolutely no enthusiasm or excitement that the Coyotes are still in Arizona. And again, being competitive would probably change that. But like, they haven't been relevant probably since 2012 or 2013.
They will never be relevant.
They made the playoffs in 2013. They beat the Blackhawks in 2013. But like, that core's gone. And with that team, their relevance has disappeared as well. So...
Dude, like, fold. And they're not going to relocate Arizona because as long as
Gary Bettman's there, he will not move Arizona.
100% no. Because on one hand, if you expand to another city in the NHL, that city will give you like $1 billion, right?
Mm-hmm.
The 33rd team of the NHL will have an expansion fee of $1 billion. The last one was $750 million, and that was Seattle. And the one before that was $500 million, and that was Vegas. Next one, it makes sense. It'll be like $1 billion. So why would you relocate Arizona where instead you could just expand and get $1 billion right there, you know? So financially, it doesn't really make sense. But man, for the respect of the league, for the respect of fans, for the purposes of creating a viable market in the NHL, not some dog shit team. My mic is popping so much right now. I apologize for that. But get them out of there. Get them out of there. They're struggling. Stop it. Fold. Mm. It's so bad.
Yeah.
Does any other league have this? Does the NBA, does the MLB have a team that is similar to the Coyotes?
Oh yeah. Sacramento Kings. Baby. Okay, let's do a little rewind. But the NBA, the Sacramento Kings are a dog shit franchise. Like they haven't had, like, they've had some good players. Buddy Hield was someone who was very good. Darren Fox was really good. But like, they're awful. The Sacramento Kings are awful. And they made a horrible trade today for my basketball fans out there. I cannot believe they traded Tyrese Halliburton. But anyways, that's besides the point. The Sacramento Kings are like that. The MLB. Think. There's got the Tampa Bay Rays. Oh my God, poor Tampa Bay Rays. The Tampa Bay Rays are a very interesting example because they've consistently been a good team as of late, like last couple of years, and they can never sell out their stadium. It is so bad. Like, and again, like the Tampa Bay Rays are a very good baseball team. They won the division last year. They went to the World Series 2 years ago. That's a very good baseball team, and they just cannot sell their stadium. And partially that might be because their actual stadium's on Tampa Bay. But like, anyways, like, I don't know if they're as bad as the Coyotes. Like, this is probably the first time in pro sports I've ever heard of a team not being able to pay rent.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Anyways,
dude. Okay, even the Sacramento Kings. Have they been exciting? Ever?
No.
The Sacramento.
I don't know. Ever? I don't know. I don't. I haven't watched basketball long enough to know. But like, I don't think so.
I think they have been exciting recently when they had the prospects coming up, right?
Yeah, but they just traded like half of them. they just traded.
Okay, I'm stretching here.
I know. I get what you're saying. I'm more dealing with the fact.
I think Arizona is. When you look at professional sports in North America, they're an outlier right now. It's not working. It's not going to work. No matter how much money you throw into that market. Gary Bettman said on Friday, right now it's not a permanent solution, but I think fans can have a lot of fun with it. They can create a terrific experience for people. The owner is committed to getting a new arena, very focused on building one in Tempe.
With what money?
But he's with what money? But he's basically saying that, like, enjoy, fans. Like, this is an opportunity, is something new. Like, look how he's grasping for straws at this point. What's exciting about this?
Yeah.
They're going to a college stadium with 5,000 people, maximum capacity.
And take that in, like, if they want to get better, do you really think there's going to be free agents who want to play at ASU?
No.
People talk about Austin Matthews wanting to go home. You think Austin Matthews is going to want to play at Arizona State University?
No.
Maybe the answer is Austin Matthews isn't a free agent until then, and hopefully they have a stadium by then. Like, they build one in Tempe or whatever, wherever the hell they're talking about building it. But, like, do you think Austin Matthews is going to want to go play in the organization with the current state that the Coyotes are in?
No. When is Austin a free agent? Coyotes have
2 years after this one.
There won't be Arizona.
Nope.
2 years after this one. There won't be an Arizona to play that. In.
I don't know about that.
That's my prediction.
Okay, fine. I just think, again, if they're doubling down on this and they're going to make it happen, that's at least 1 year after this one. So it's going to be ASU at least one more after this year. And then the second year, who knows what happens? Because, again, I don't even think the ASU arena is going to work out. Because, again, like you mentioned, in order to compensate for the fact that they're going to be, like, basically cutting their attendance into, like, eights, they're going to have to jack up the ticket prices. No one's going to want to go pay, like, a shit ton of money to go watch the shitty Arizona Coyotes go play hockey. I don't know. I don't know where they go after that. Like, maybe, like, I don't know. Like,
it's sad, but I know where to end this episode on something more exciting. Do you want to play a quick Simon Says?
Oh, I love to play that game.
I did not prep.
Have to be Simon.
I did not prep this Simon Says in advance. I just came up with this. Because the Olympics are going on right now.
Oh, no. I don't like Olympic Simon Says. I'm going to say. Okay, anyways, go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
Have you been following the women's ice hockey so far?
A little bit. I have been watching some of it.
Okay, I'm going to ask you 3 questions just based on the scores. Don't pull anything up.
Okay, I won't. Oh, okay. I'm going to lose.
Canada has played, let me see, one. They played 2 games, and they've played 3 games and 4 games, actually. The women's, the Canadian women's hockey team has played 4 games in the 2022 Beijing Winter Olympics. Can you tell me their record?
I'm going to guess 4-0.
Yes. Can you tell me?
Yes.
Can you tell me the scores?
Okay, so
let's go number one. They beat you. Switzerland. Start from the top. This happened last Thursday.
Oh my god. They blew them out. Fuck. 8-1.
No. I'm trying to give you a hint here. Okay, I'll give you 3 lifelines. Okay, this is your first lifeline. Okay. It's over 10.
Jesus Christ. Okay, that's what I thought. Oh my God. 11 to 1.
12 1.
Oh God.
Their second game.
The poor Swiss. Oh, second game. Who they play?
The second game, Saturday, February 5th, against Finland. They won. Do you know what the score for that one was?
No, 5-2.
No, higher.
7-2?
Higher.
8-2?
Higher.
12-2.
11-1.
Are you joking? No. You're actually joking. No, I'm not. Oh my God. They have families. Oh my God.
I know, right? They have kids.
Okay. Okay. Go ahead.
Now the third game against the Russian Olympic Committee was more competitive. Okay. A lot more competitive. Do you know what the score was for this one?
10-1. No, I don't know. No. It was good. 5-2, wasn't it?
6-1.
6-1. Okay. Else. Fuck, that's ridiculous. Oh my God.
That's still pretty bad. Like,
yeah.
Okay, then their most competitive game. Like, actually, seriously.
Yeah, they won 4-2 last night. That one I actually watched, so I know they won that one. Yeah.
Good game.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they've just been demolishing everyone. Like, no one has even come close in their group just in terms of the number of goals that they've scored.
Yeah. Well, USA's got to be up there, no? Oh no, sorry. I guess in terms of goals scored, and they have to. Yeah, they're probably way ahead of everyone. Jesus Christ.
The U.S. team won 5-2 against Finland the first game. Then they
not
won
11.
5-0 against Russia. Okay. Then they won 8-0 against Switzerland.
Okay.
And then they lost 2-4 to Canada.
To Canada. Yeah. Okay.
So interesting. Not as much. They have one loss. Haha, you stink. That's it.
Who did they lose to?
Canada. The US.
Oh, team. Right. Yes. That's right. Right. Yeah. Right. That's talking about outside of Canada. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So the women's preliminary round, I think, is over now. The men's preliminary round will begin tomorrow, Wednesday, February 9th, and that will run for a few days. Women's quarterfinals will begin on Friday.
Oh, wow. Already?
One more question before we wrap up. Do you know who Canada is playing in the quarterfinals, the women's team, on Friday, February 11th?
China, I'm guessing.
No.
So it's not. Oh, right. They do the crisscross thing, I think. Okay. I have no idea.
Sweden.
Anyways, I have no idea how the women's Sweden team is, but go Canada. Yeah.
It's
go China. China beat Japan. That one I saw. I was like, yeah.
Go China. Oh, yeah.
Go.
Wow.
I thought, I can't remember. I don't know. They actually won a game. I was like, that's crazy.
Wow. I'm looking at this right now. China did beat Japan 2-1.
Good job, China.
And China proud. Lost 2-1 against Sweden. Close game.
Oh. We need to beat those Sweden to the ground to avenge my homeland. No, I don't know.
My homeland. Okay, cool. So quickly, quarterfinals look like this. It's Canada and Sweden. That's one bracket. Then you got US and Czech Republic. That's the other bracket. Then you've got Russia and Switzerland. And then you got Finland and Japan. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll very much be interesting. Slash, will it actually?
I think
no
so.
Offense to.
I think so. I don't think it'll get insanely more exciting. But when you get to the semifinals, I think it'll be cool.
The one thing I do think is too bad is, like, I think it's basically a foregone conclusion who's going to be playing in the finals.
Yeah, pretty much.
And I just think it kind of sucks, like because this is the problem with the NBA a couple years ago. They had Golden State and Cleveland going up against each other every year. There's no excitement. There's no like build up. It's just like, okay, can we just get to the? Can we just watch the finals then? If we already know who's going to play, like But anyways.
And for anyone wondering, the gold medal game will actually be held on Thursday, February 17th. So you can just fast forward in time through there. you really don't care about any of these
Canada.
Games.
Yeah,
okay,
y'all get what we're saying.
Let's wrap.
Again, Subscribe to all of our services, such as Spotify, iTunes, Apple, yeah, services, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Follow our Instagram, Twitter, TikTok should be up and running shortly. And yeah, stay tuned.
Yay!